Our scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, that's Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill be made low, and the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, as I was preparing for this sermon, I was reminded of how difficult it is to make something flat. Okay? When we first moved into our house about 3 years ago, we were really excited because it was the first time in our adult lives that we had had a house where we could do something to it. You see, we had lived in parsonages, which anybody who's lived in a parsonage or helped take care of a parsonage knows that you don't do anything to that house. You try to not scratch a wall or dent anything. You try to live in it as though no one has ever lived in it. We were never good at that, but we also knew and were reminded each time a cat would scratch something that we were probably in trouble. And so we were so excited when we got this house that was ours, or at least, you know, the bank's, and we were paying them back for it. We were so excited we could do stuff. So we said, you know what? We've always wanted a fire pit, so we're going to build a fire pit. So I said, oh, our backyard is nice and flat. Discovered our backyard was not nice and flat once I tried to make the ground flat. Because what I thought was a gentle slope, turns out that when it starts out as a gentle slope here, about 5 feet over here, that gentle slope seems like not a gentle slope, right? It's the magic of angles and things like that. And so I got my little level out, and I said, okay, so I scrape and scrape, put it down, still not flat, scrape. And after about 5 hours of scraping and scrubbing and all this, I finally had a flat spot, a flat circle that I could use to make my fire pit. But what it reminded me was that making things plain, making things level, is hard work. What I thought was going to take me like 5 minutes took me about 10 times as long. No, 100 times as long, right? If it was 5 hours from 5 minutes. I thought it was going to be short and easy. Turns out it wasn't. And after that, I had come out without gloves and all that. I thought this is going to be fun. My fingernails were caked with dirt. I was dirty. I was messy. I was sweaty. All to make one little piece of ground flat. And it makes me think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his message today in the scripture to us comes from the prophet Isaiah. And he says, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. That sounds great until you're the one that has to fill in the valley, right? That sounds great until you have to scrape down that hill and make it flat. I grew up in the mountains and watched as they cut roads for things like the Parkway or for I-26, the part that goes up into Tennessee. I remember watching as they built these roads thinking, that's going to take forever, right? Because in order to make this like four-lane road interstate that goes through there, they had to blast huge sections of the mountain away, right? And then they had to put up these big nets to catch the rocks that were falling that they missed the first time, right? And then they had to haul away all the pieces of rock. And then when they were done hauling away all the pieces of rock, they had to bring dirt back in so that they could flatten everything out. That is a lot of work and very difficult. And it made me think. John the Baptist, through the prophet Isaiah, is saying, as Jesus is on his way, there is work that has to be done. In order for us to have the s'mores over the fire pit, in order for me to be able to share pictures on social media of the roaring fire and be all excited, look, we're out in the backyard in the 70-degree weather roasting some marshmallows in December. In order to be able to do that, first, the sweaty, nasty, dirty work had to be done. And I think this is what Advent is about. John the Baptist, I talked about it in Sunday school this morning. John the Baptist is an irritant. He is somebody to make us uncomfortable. Okay? His life shows it, right? His dad, when he found out that he was going to have a kid, didn't get to talk for 9 months. He was very uncomfortable. His mother was in seclusion for 5 months when she first found out she was pregnant, then played host to a young woman who was worried about her safety, who happened to be pregnant before she got married, who just happened to be carrying the Son of God, right? Then, when he grows up, he goes off and lives in the wilderness, wearing the camel hair clothing and eating bugs and honey and all that kind of stuff, right? And then he ticks everybody off, right? He proceeds to get a list of who can he make mad, and he makes them all mad. He calls the important people broods of vipers. He tells the king that he needs to change his ways, and eventually he ends up with his head on a platter. John the Baptist reminds us that in order to follow Jesus, in order to prepare the way for Jesus, in order to get to the manger on Christmas morning, there's hard work that has to be done. And I don't know about you, but I don't like hard work. Okay, a confession that I don't like hard work, right? I became a preacher, right? We don't do a lot of hard work, right? Not physically hard work, right? I'll never forget my first appointment. We were at a church function, and I was shaking everybody's hand. And this older fella came up to me, shook my hand, and as men of that generation did, he tried to break all my bones, right? And he said, "You got smooth hands, boy." Like, yeah, sorry, right? His way of judging what I had done with my life was, if I didn't have enough calluses, if I didn't have gnarled bones from the manual labor, I hadn't done anything worth doing. And, you know, I hated to tell him, I'll do that kind of stuff. It's just not my preference, right? You know, if somebody needs to tear out a wall in my house, I'm going to hire somebody, right? I'd rather not do that. I know I'm not going to do it well, and I just don't want to. Right? I like mowing the yard, but I don't like digging holes in it, you know? So I think that a lot of us are like me with manual labor in our spiritual life. We want to get to the fun part, right? I like my fire pit. I didn't like flattening out the ground to make it. I like Christmas dinner. I like all that food and all that stuff, but I don't like making it. You know, Kristen starts making it. Hey, come in here and help me with this. All right. Because I have to handle the raw meat, and I have to make the stuff that's with the raw eggs into shapes. She doesn't like to touch that kind of thing. And I don't like doing that. It's nasty, it's messy, you know. But I love eating it, right? We want to get to the manger and the baby and the silent night and the friendly beast and all that, but we don't want to walk the road from Nazareth to Bethlehem, which, as you remember, is not a safe road. And it's not a flat road. If you ever go to the Holy Land, get on the bus and ride from Jerusalem to anywhere, and it's like this. You don't realize this. And that's now on like little interstates that they built. Imagine what it was like in Mary and Joseph's time, on a camel, pregnant, heading to Bethlehem. And so John the Baptist comes to us and he says, hey, if you want to prepare the way for Jesus, if you want this world to be Christ's world, then work has to be done. We got to flatten out some places. We got to fill in these holes. Otherwise, It's going to take him longer to get here. As we talk about roads, there is a road from my hometown in Spruce Pine down to Marion, which for us was the big city. Okay, Marion is like 20 Marions could fit in Spartanburg. Okay, so it's really not that big. But to get there before I was born was a 45-minute all like this down the side of a mountain, and you went down this way and that way, and there were no guardrails, and it was dangerous and it was scary. So then they built this new road that takes about 10 minutes. It's got guardrails, but it's also got runaway truck ramps and all these signs telling you to cool your brakes, watch out, don't drive off the side of the mountain. And it's like that steep as you drive up it, okay? It's one of those really exciting roads to drive on, especially if you haven't driven in the mountains before. And I remember seeing it for the first time driving. Like, my parents rode on it. Driving on it for the first time, I thought, my goodness, somebody really wanted to get up here to build this road, because they had to knock stuff over and all. But it made it so much more convenient to get from place to place. The work that we do is useful. The work that we do in our hearts and the work that we do in our world. I think John the Baptist would want us to focus on the work that we need to do in our world. There are so many places in our world where people are told, you live in this hole and you like it. Why? Because you don't have the money. You don't have the social status. You don't have the work ethic, or you're from this side of town, or you look like these people. You're from there, right? You stay over here on this side of the tracks, and we'll stay over here on that side of the tracks. And we have laws, and we have things that are unspoken agreements of who can live where and who can do what, right? And we have a world in which some people can back up into success, and which other people who work really hard find it almost impossible to be able to advance. This is the world that we have created, right? And not necessarily you and me, but people who are in charge have created, right? And John the Baptist comes into our world and says, no, that's not the kingdom of God, right? What is the vision of the kingdom of God? The vision of the kingdom of God is no Gentile or Jew, no servant or free, no women or men, right? No place where they tell you, no, I don't think you can do that because you're too old. No world where they tell you, no, girls don't do that. No world where they tell you, you know what? We think you're really qualified, but I don't think they would accept a black person. That's the world we live in right now. John the Baptist says, make the rough places plain. If things have been built up that make someone else not be able to thrive, not be able to be a part of the kingdom, not be able to feed their children or take care of their lives, then we knock that stuff down and we push it into a ditch. Now, that's not easy, and it gets your fingers dirty. I don't like doing it. Because anytime I talk about that kind of thing, I start to worry I'm going to end up like John the Baptist with a head on a platter, right? And yet, John the Baptist, in his itchy sweater, he's out in the wilderness calling us to prepare the way of the Lord. You see, he looks at, and I've talked about this in Sunday school before, King Herod, who eventually ended up, you know, cutting off his head. King Herod was the king at the time, and he wasn't a real king. He was a figurehead, right? He collaborated with the Romans, and he said, "I'll do whatever you say. Just let me be king. Let my family be in charge." And so they did. They said, "Okay, that's pretty cool. Good deal. We'll let you have some money. You can collect taxes from the people." And he built these elaborate palaces. In fact, what he did was he would make people work for him and dig out the insides of mountains and take the tops of mountains and level them off and build elaborate, fancy castles and fortresses on top of these mountains. Do you see how he was making himself way up above everybody else? Does anybody remember Yertle the Turtle? Anybody a Dr. Seuss person? Yes. My favorite Dr. Seuss book is Yertle the Turtle. Okay, and it's very simple. He's a turtle, and he wants to be king. He's like, I'm the king of the pond. But all he can see when he's at the bottom and on this one little rock in the pot is just a few turtles and some muck and some water. But he piles up a turtle and stands on top of it, and he can see a little bit farther. And then he gets five turtles, and he can see a house. And he's king of the house, and he's king of the sheep. And he gets up so high that he can see for miles and miles, and he's the greatest king until he sees the moon above him, and he wants to get higher because there can't be anything that's higher than him. That's what King Herod was. King Herod said, I'm going to get myself up here, and everybody else, you're going to be reminded of how you're below me. And into that comes John the Baptist. Repent. Change your ways. Tear down that palace. Take the gold that's in the fixtures. Melt it down and feed those people that are down there in the streets. And for that, he was rewarded with some silver on a platter. But John the Baptist still speaks to us today, reminding us that our world is not yet as it should be, and not yet as it will be. It is really hard to focus on Jesus if you're distracted, right? It's really hard. Any teacher can tell you that most of the time when a student is having trouble in class, they're having trouble in class because something's going on at home. Something's going on in their body. Maybe they're hungry, right? Which is why it's wonderful that we have like free lunch and things like that, right? That's a way of leveling things out. But the kid that comes to school and his parents got him up early enough and fed him a nutritious breakfast has a leg up on the student who comes to school at the last second and has to wait on the bus and hasn't had anything to eat since lunch at the day before. And yet, if we feed them, then that barrier is removed. You see, it's not always big Supreme Court level stuff that you've got to do in order to make the rough places plain. Sometimes it's as little as saying, hey, let's make sure that kid has enough to eat. Sometimes it's as much as saying, let's make sure that we don't kick people out of their homes on Christmas Eve. Maybe it's just as much as saying that we take care of the men up at the house up the road. Maybe it's providing socks for children in the school so that their feet aren't cold, right? See, John the Baptist reminds us that it's not just about us. That preparing the way for the Lord means filling in the holes, lifting up the people who are low, and yes, making the ones that are way up high come down to the level of everybody else. And how much do you think the people up high are going to like that? Right? Their vote's going to be a big thumbs down for that. And yet, the counterbalance to that is those people who are down low being lifted up will be so grateful, will feel the love of God. And we get to be a part of that. We get to get our fingernails dirty so that we can all gather around the table that we're about to gather around, so that we can all be part of the kingdom, so that we don't feel, so nobody feels left out, so that nobody misses out on the salvation of God because all they could see was the next paycheck. Nobody misses out on the salvation of God because they knew that my type of person is not welcome there. They knew that they couldn't get a house or a home, or they couldn't feed their families. John the Baptist invites us to turn around, to repent, and to get our hands dirty, to get some dirt up under these fingernails, so that everyone can approach the manger for Christmas, so that we all, bless you, can feel Christ's love, so that none of us lift someone else up over the rest. And then we can celebrate with joy the coming of the Christ child. Amen.